And this is Midwest Punks coming back with another episode. And Brian, this is a special episode for us.
Yeah, it is.
We finally having our first guest on. We're 10 episodes in. And
not easy during the middle of the day to get people in here.
Exactly. And especially with everything going on right now. It's just a little hectic. So, but we've been talking about trying to get a guest on. And today we have a pretty awesome guest, some local guys from a band you might have heard of, especially if you listened to the show before, because we played them and shared some stuff on Facebook. But we got the guys from Lights Over Bridgeport, so we're going to introduce them here in a minute. But again, Midwest Punks, you can find us on Facebook and
that's our Midwest Punks podcast
on Facebook. And then we are uploading some playlists onto Spotify, so you can hear some of the songs there. You can find our episodes on lakeshorepublicradio.org, and just click on the music button, and then we even have just a direct URL, right?
You can go to Midwest Punks, straight to the .com.
Yep, there you go, and check us out there. We like to try and support some local bands and play some music from just all sorts of punk and rock and all that. So we appreciate you tuning in, and hopefully you're hearing something new or something that jogs your memory of something you listened to back in the day, and that's what we're all about. So
that's right.
But all right, well, let's get into it. Like I said, we have Johnny and Miko from Lights Over Bridgeport. So guys, thanks for coming on.
Welcome.
Yeah,
what's up?
So Lights Over Bridgeport, you guys, your hometown is Hammond?
Yeah, that's where we're all originally born and raised, except for Kurt, our bass player, is from Munster, so we all have
Northwest
the region roots. Yeah.
Awesome. And then obviously just for kind of marketing purposes, you guys are Chicagoland band. But yeah, it's interesting that all you guys were from Hammond. So kind of leading into the next question, how did you guys all kind of start playing together? Did you guys go to school together?
Well, we did, but we actually didn't know each other. It's kind of a funny story. like the three of us that have been playing together for a long time, myself, Nico, and Kevin, we all went to the same high school. We went to Gavitt High School in Hammond. And I was 2 years older than them. And I went away to college in 2000. And I actually started the band shortly after that. So we're talking about a long time ago now. And then the band kind of functioned as one thing for 4 or 5 years, and then all of the members left and kind of like started families and stuff. And then, so I was basically back to square one on my own. And, a friend of mine knew Nico and Kevin from working stage crew at the Star, the now defunct Star Plaza. Yeah. And he was like, you should play with these guys. And I was like, I didn't know them. You know, but I knew who they were because I just like knew, I think I recognized their names from school.
Mm.
And I'm like, these guys? And then I wound up playing with them and had them out. And I mean, now we've been together for 15 years, you know, like with the three of us like playing, they have quite a musical brotherhood. I don't know. Isn't that really how the story went, dude? I mean.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. Me and Kevin have been playing since we were in the same grade, so we met at Gavitt, and we started playing when we were like, I don't know, 12 or 13 years old. Kevin taught me how to play guitar, which is hilarious because I was a bass player, and he wanted to play drums, and so he wanted me to play guitar, and he started playing guitar, so he, you know, like showed me some pointers on guitar, and that's how I got started playing guitar. And then, yeah, him and I played in numerous bands all throughout high school. And then after high school, we were working over at the Star Plaza on the stage crew just doing stagehand stuff. And, yeah, through a mutual friend at some point, it just kind of, we just kind of all linked up.
That's funny. Weird. That's kind of just fate, right?
I mean, yeah.
You guys finally came back together and now you guys rocking together. So that's awesome. Yeah, that's interesting. And then I know the Lights Over Bridgeport name that just is. So that was the name, Johnny, before all the members today were there? Like, that was just the name you had all along, or did that come about later?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's this long history to the band, but the only thing that remains the same from, like, essentially the first 10 years of what we were doing is the name itself, which I thought of way back in the day. I mean, we thought about changing the name after Nico and Kevin and I started playing together, but we're not that good at thinking up of cool stuff anyway, and we for sure couldn't think of a cooler name. We liked the name, and then, you know, I don't know, Nico's been living here in Bridgeport for probably, what, like 10 years, right, dude, or more than that? And
yeah.
Then I've been here for like over 4 years now, and that's just a coincidence. Like, we just wound up here. I wound up here because he was here and, like, turned me on to the neighborhood. But the name came way before, and yeah. We were just into the way it sounded.
Brian, now, do you know how far Bridgeport is? Because Brian's from the Tinley Park area, right?
Yeah, I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
It's a little, like, 20, 30 minutes past the border there.
I know I've passed it, like, going on the highway, and you know, we have family in Oaklawn and stuff. So I remember the first time that I saw a sign somewhere and said, I was like, oh. So I was like, yeah. Looking for the lights. No, I'm just joking.
So, yeah, it's probably about 20 to 30 minutes, depending on your traffic, you know. It's not far.
Yeah, so still in the region. It's not too far from Northwest Indiana. I know you guys play shows both, you know, here on both sides of the border there. So I actually saw you guys at Festival of the Lakes back in, what was that, 2 years now? I think you guys played there.
So
I saw you guys there, and then I know you guys played a show at Reggie's in Chicago in January, and I was going to try to make it out to that and didn't. Now, of course, really wish I would have. That would have probably been the last show I went to before all this stuff happened. So,
that was a fun night, too.
Rub it in.
Yeah, no, exactly. So, I mean, Brian and I on the show, we started the show with episodes talking about the bands that kind of influenced us and got us into the punk music and stuff like that. So how about you guys? What are some of the bands that got you guys into it, and when did that happen? I mean, was that early, you know, were you a little kid, little punk rocker kid in elementary school running around, or did that come about later?
Well, for me, as far as the punk rock, I think the earliest and biggest thing that I can remember was when I was in seventh grade, which was 1994, and that was the year that Dookie came out and the year that And Out Come the Wolves came out. And, you know, I became obsessed with those records and those bands, and, like, within a year or two, all of my friends, like, started to get really into punk, and, like, I was in, like, initially kind of got into some of the English stuff, but then, like, once I got into, like, American punk bands, like, The Misfits was still one of my all-time favorites. Like, that was probably, like, eighth grade, and, you know, Minor Threat and Black Flag and Descendants. Like, by the time I was, like, in, you know, starting high school, like, it was, like, all I cared about, you know, was, like, that kind of music. I mean, I've loved it ever since. So that's how I got started with punk rock. I don't know about you, though. So.
Yeah, I mean, very similar. Like, Green Day was huge. And I had a friend, a mutual friend with Kevin. Before I knew Kevin, Kevin was a huge Green Day fan. He's like, oh, yeah, you should talk to my buddy Kevin. You know, he likes Green Day, too. And this was, like, you know, middle school. And then we just kind of bonded over Green Day. And then it moved into Pennywise. It was, like, when I started playing guitar.
Nice.
And I want to play punk rock guitar. You know, Green Day, I could play bass. And, like, I enjoyed playing bass to it, but... Pennywise and even 88 Fingers, those guys got me really started, you know. I was more into the skate punk stuff.
If we were like one of those radio stations that plays a bunch of sound effects, I think we'd play the old school, like, did we just become best friends? Because, like, literally, Brian and I, we've played, like, every band you guys listed right there. We've played them all on the show. Some of them are on our list of the ones that influenced us, especially for me. I mean, it was almost the exact same thing. I was in middle school, like, seventh grade. And yeah, Green Day really opened it up for me. And then Rancid's like my favorite band now. I got a tattoo of Rancid and stuff. Like, they're my favorite band now, but Green Day is definitely the one that I credit to, like, opening that door for me into this genre. And then bounced around with, you know, the Queers and Ramones and all that. But so yeah, it's pretty. And then Brian, like, with you, it's,
oh yeah, I mean, I was really into Pennywise, and Naked Ray Gun is one of my favorites. I saw that you guys are played with them, and so that's a big band to me. I know that Jeff just came out with an album today. I think it was released.
We saw that. Yeah, so that'll be something we'll try and talk about too.
Yeah,
but yeah, so that's awesome. Yeah, that's pretty much same story with us and some of the same bands, and that's just how it goes, man. Then you fall into that. Well, of this band members are in this band too, and you know, this band was influenced by this band, let's check them out. And you just, and Brian and I do that on the show, like mid show when we're playing a song sometimes. It's just like, you know, there's another band with this guy, and he's got this song, you play that one, and it, you know, just
down a rabbit hole.
Yeah. So that's awesome. Yeah, cool. And so then, you know, you guys were little punk rock kids in high school and didn't really even know each other, and then later on, way down the line, got into a band together. That's came full circle. So with you guys playing together, when do you think was like kind of the first break? I know your guys' first album was Prayers and Eulogies. Is that the first one you guys
pretty,
all put out
pretty
together?
Much. There were earlier releases, but we have since basically like placed those in a vault. Because there's a lot about them that we still are fond of, but I mean, we haven't played the material in years. So the Prayers and Eulogies would be the first thing, like in kind of like the current iteration of the band. Absolutely.
Yeah. What about Trenches? Because Trenches, you guys had that came out before Prayers and Eulogies. Or am I mixing up my timeline?
Yeah, Trenches was the second thing.
Okay.
After Prayers and Eulogies, yep. That was another EP, and then and then Good Grief was after that.
Okay. Yeah, and with Prayers and Eulogies, how did that kind of hit the scene, and what did that bring about for you guys when that album dropped for you guys?
You know, that was like, that was a really interesting and exciting time for us because, you know, we've been kind of farting around, like playing, you know, like for years at that point, but a couple of things kind of converged, like around at the same time was like, we met a friend who really like was almost like an unofficial manager for us. And between the help that he gave us, but also just some kind of internal decision making that we had on our own, we were just like, because I mean, at that time we were just basically playing in basements and garages, and we really didn't have any kind of organization to what we were doing. It was like a hobby, and so when we did Prayers and Eulogies, that was like we decided to like, hey, let's try to write, like let's consciously try to write better songs instead of just having like the sort of stream of consciousness, like, hey, I'm thinking about this riff. So we were more organized and like focused and thoughtful with our songwriting. And we also tried to like organize the band a little bit more. And so at the time, like when you talk about, you know, like how that was released at the time, it was fairly small and we didn't get that big of a response, but it was still important because we were playing more shows at the time. And we definitely were leveling up our production in all aspects, like from the audio to the composition to, you know, even like the merch that we started to produce at that time. And so we were basically just trying to like, hey, like get people to say like, hey, let's take these guys seriously.
Yeah, you guys,
like,
were legit. You guys got an EP out, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, in hindsight, everything that we put out has been a little bit of a, like a step above the last in terms of we always try to do a better record, but also, you know, we've worked really hard to play out in the city as much as possible. And we've gotten a little bit more of an audience with each release. So yeah, I mean, but Prayers was kind of where it started.
Yeah.
And you know, so that was a fun time.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, let's give people a taste of Prayers and Eulogies. I think one song that I really enjoy off that album is Horchata, and I know Brian's got something that he kind of fitting with Horchata that maybe he can ask after we hear this song. So let's play Horchata by Lights Over Bridgeport real quick. Here we go. And that was Horchata by Lights Over Bridgeport. And that was off their Prayers and Eulogies album, which came out 2013. And it's available on Bandcamp, like a lot of their other music, and on Facebook and stuff. And Brian, I know Orchada came up at some point with something you had seen on their.
Yeah, I have to do the research to kind of see what everybody's about. And usually one of my go-tos is the bio section on Spotify. And I happen to see all your bio says is steak burritos, black coffee, Dogos, and Orchada. So I don't know what a Dogo is, and I thought I'd ask you rather than look that up.
You guys just forgot you had that up there, yeah. So I just reminded you. But as soon as Brian asked me about that, I was like, well, they got a song named Orchada, man. They must really like it.
That's really funny, dude. I mean, you know, and also with you saying, too, that did you guys just forget that was there? Like, if that question doesn't like fit our band so well, like, you know, I mentioned earlier that we, you know, we have a hard time thinking of cool stuff. So the question that you're asking, that's actually Dogos. We just like dogs, but I don't expect anyone to make sense of that.
I think
we really
cool.
love dogs, but you know, to kind of fix some of that goofiness, I mean, there's always going to be a lot of that with us because it's just who we are.
Yeah.
But we had a friend write us a new bio that actually I put on our Facebook page like last week. But it's
I
not
saw
on
that. Fire. I thought it was different. I was like, I swear, I looked at this like 2 weeks ago, and it was different. But even that, I mean, I think the opening line is "What's up, buttheads?" I mean, that's just cool. I mean, that to me, that's legitimacy. You know, that's not you trying to like fit some kind of model of what a band should bio should sound like. You're just like, this is us. You know, so I dig that. That's cool. So that was a song off Prayers and Eulogies, and we opened with a song from your new album, which is coming out Friday, Better This Way, and that song was Morning in Chicago that we opened the show with, but we just wanted to kind of take things back to the start, so you guys are giving us a pretty good idea of how things came about, pretty awesome story so far, and so after Prayers and Eulogies, you guys came out with Trenches, right?
Yeah.
Again, just a funny thing I saw about the album Trenches, and if you wanted to get into it more, was this album proved you were punkier than Jimmy Eat World? Than Jimmy Eat World? I saw that somewhere. Was it on Bandcamp or something?
We put that out there, but it's probably true.
I didn't know if there was some history of
Yeah, has somebody said that to you? Or?
Well, all the Trenches stuff is coming up in my social media because it's actually like 5 years to the days that we were actually recording that album, like right now. So it's all been popping up in my, you know, on this day, good memories. It's funny that this comes up a lot, and it's no surprise because Jimmy Eat World is my all time favorite band. It's been my favorite band pretty much since I was 20. So pretty much like, once I graduated high school and found them, like, they've been my favorite band ever since. And I played an acoustic show in December, and it was a real small show, but my friend that I played with, he came up to me after the show and was like, I really love the new stuff. He's like, what I love about it is that I can tell that you like Jimmy Eat World. And I'm like, yeah, that's true.
That's awesome.
You know, so, and like, I think like one of my favorite things that happened when I know we're talking about Trenches, but when we were recording Better This Way, like pretty much we were there, we were recording for like 7 days, and like every day almost someone would say, oh, that sounds so much like Futures. That sounds like Futures. And we were just so geeked. I mean, you know, we're not going to be shy about being inspired, or at least I'm not going to be shy about being inspired. Like, we hold them to a pretty high standard in terms of their songwriting and certainly their production and musicianship and all that. So yeah, for sure, man, that's a big part of what inspires me, you know, and I know we all like that. So.
Cool. Yeah. Well, on Trenches, I wanted to play, there's two songs I wanted to play from this album for people to hear. I think they're awesome songs. If you want to give me a quick rundown, the first song I want to play is True North. So like, what's the story behind this song?
You know, it's funny with that one because it's kind of become a favorite of the people that follow us, and I don't have like hardly any recollection of writing that song. One thing I remember about writing that song is the lyrics, which around that time we had done a couple of really short Weekend Warrior runs with our really good friends in Lost Years. Shout out to Lost Years, who are another region band, Gary, Indiana. And we've been friends with those guys forever, and like we had so much fun playing with them. And so the whole song is kind of a microcosm of like just having a love for, you know, doing that kind of thing. For us, it was like following our dreams. Like we always wanted to tour more, and like it's been hard for us to do that because we all have day jobs. But that song is basically just about following your dreams, which in our case was to play music, you know. Yeah. So that's what that song's about. Nico, do you remember like writing that song at all? Like, I don't remember practicing or anything hardly.
Yeah, it, not really, honestly. I remember recording it. I don't remember the creation of it, which is really strange.
Yeah. Well, I think it's an awesome song, so let's play True North from Lights Over Bridgeport real quick. That was True North from Lights Over Bridgeport off their album, their EP, Trenches. And just wanted to get into one more song from that album real quick. And Johnny, I know that the one I want to play is Leaving in July. And I read that song was inspired by the passing of your father.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. And so how, like, songwriting, that kind of help you get through that? I mean, personally, like, my dad passed away a couple years ago too, and so did my wife's dad. They actually passed away a year apart, so definitely feel you on that one, man. But so for you, like, as far as writing a song about that, I mean, just to me, that seems like that would be a really nice or really good, like, release of stuff or something. So how did that come about?
Well, you know, I would say that, like, music is a gift that my dad gave me, and that began with him sharing music with me, which is basically started before I was even born. He would take headphones and put them on my mom's stomach when I was in the womb and, like, play, like, Rolling Stones, and I Ramble. And
stuff. That's like that. The secret to creating a musician. All right, got to do that now, yeah. Headphones on the belly.
But then, there you go. But then, you know, he actually taught me how to play, and so when I started doing my own stuff, music was a bond that we shared, and you know, I'd play him everything I recorded, and we'd share it together, and I can't do that anymore. So when I was thinking about leaving in July, at the time, I think, you know, obviously it's just these emotions I was feeling, missing my dad, and it's kind of evolved because, you know, at the time he had already been passed for 5 years, and now he's been gone for 10 years, and that at the time, it was like just kind of expressing those emotions.
Yeah.
But what's special about that song to me now is, now, you know, even my family members that don't really mess with the band that much, they know that song. And so what's special to me about this song now is, like, it's a way for my dad's memory to live on. And real quick, I'll tell you a funny story. My nephew, who was not even born when my dad passed away, he's 3. And he's, like, getting really into this song now.
Oh, awesome.
And I was visiting with him the other day, and he's like, Leaving in July is all about Grandpa Eric. And I said, yeah, it is. He's like, Uncle John, how did you get so good at that song? And I'm like, well, man, I made it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's just funny, like, you know, and he's obviously never met my dad, but he can, you know, he now can maybe just interact with who he was a little bit.
Yeah, get a
maybe
connection.
His starting
yeah.
point is from that song. So
that's awesome.
So yeah, I'm happy with the way it came out. That was one in the studio that came out just amazing compared to what we were expecting going into it. So yeah.
Well, let's give it a listen.
Yeah, let's check it out.
All right, so here we go. Leaving in July from Lights Over Bridgeport.
The sky is bleeding, memories that will rip the sun down.
right. And that was Leaving in July from Lights Over Bridgeport.
Great song.
Yeah. I think you can just feel the lyrics on that one. And thanks for giving us the background on it too. Appreciate that.
Oh, sure.
2 years after you guys finished recording Trenches and released that, you guys drop an EP, Good Grief, which had had a really awesome album cover. So
yeah, the artwork on that's great. Who did that artwork?
The guy's name is Miguel Echemendia. Mm-hmm. He's a Chicago-based illustrator, super talented. He's probably designed about half of the stuff that we have out there.
Nice.
Yeah, that one is close.
I guess that's the only album cover, but he's done a bunch of our T-shirts, and our show posters too.
Yeah, I saw on Facebook somebody got a tattoo of that recently. You guys were sharing the picture.
Someone did. Unfortunately, that was our friend Mike that actually passed away.
Oh.
But I'm bound and determined to get that tattooed on me as well eventually. I mean, we all love it that much. So
yeah, I mean I think it's an awesome looking cover. So, so this Good Grief EP had four songs on it. You guys worked with Nick Diener. I don't know how you say his last name, from the Swellers.
Yeah.
And
that's correct.
Yeah, that's awesome. You can, I know you guys talked about that and how that kind of helped you guys even progress that much more, work with somebody like him. It seems like around this time when this album dropped, you guys were getting a lot of attention too. So how was that, dropping a new album while you guys were kind of a little bit bigger than what you were before? I mean, was that what were some of the high points of that time for you guys? Because we're talking, 2017? So,
yeah.
A couple years ago?
Well, you know, I think at that time, we were coming out of a couple years from when Trenches came out, and we had played really steadily and regularly, mostly at Quenchers, RIP. You know, it was kind of like our old home base, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to think that we had built our name a little bit, and 2017 was definitely a special year for us because that record, I know, means a lot to all of us, and it's very short, but it's a big slab of feels, I guess, and we put a lot into it. And coinciding with the writing and the release of it, we started to get some of the best and coolest opportunities that we've ever had. That year was the year that we played 350 Fest and opened for Face to Face. As part of that, you know, that happened that year, and we played with the Stereo, as part of the same fest. So, I mean, kind of, our rubbing elbows with the whole 350 world at that time was a major help to our reach and, you know, reaching more people. I mean, there was just a lot of things that were happening. I don't think, am I missing anything? I mean, that was like a lot of what was happening then.
Yeah, I mean, thinking about Prayers, like, we were, like, nose to the grindstone, like, just working at it so hard. We had a purpose at that point. You know, like you said before that, we didn't really have a purpose. We just kind of played just to do it. And we decided we want to take it further. And with each release, we were getting further. We were seeing the progress that we were making. By the time Good Grief came out, it was like all that hard work, actually, we started to see, you know, the payoff, which was playing those shows and doing those things. And that record just, I mean, or that EP, it took things to the next level by far.
It's an excellent EP. Yeah,
yeah, and I think, like you said, the songwriting and stuff too, because I know there's a song on there I want to play. It's Curses. And just, and too, kudos to you guys, because you guys include all your lyrics on Bandcamp. I mean, you know, I listen to songs over and over again when I get hooked on them. They go on my playlist, and while I'm working out in the yard or something, it's just cycling through. But at some point, sometimes you're like, what was he saying there? And so you read through those lyrics. It really, I enjoy reading the lyrics a lot. So.
It helps us a lot, too, when we got to bleep something out.
Yeah. but so reading those lyrics, I was like, man, these just seem like pretty deep lyrics. So is there something behind Curses that pushed you to write that song?
Well, I can tell you that there for sure is, but I think Nico would probably tell you, like, we shouldn't go there.
Okay.
he knows all about what I was going through at the time. I mean,
yeah, and, you know, and hearing the song, it's kind of, you know, it's obviously you're going through something and trying to get past it with the, again, just with the song process, you know.
So. Yeah, I mean, you know, this song's about a relationship that doesn't work out and hurt feelings, and, you know, it's a pretty dark song, but we love that one. You know, I'm personally pretty proud of that one. I love the way that we're able to make a song like that work. It's not, you know, we were, throughout these earlier EPs that we've been discussing, for a lot of that time, we were kind of focused, at least I was, on trying to write faster songs, and we were doing that, but this was a case where we were really slowing it down and still capturing a good amount of power.
Yeah.
So stoked on that one for sure. But I want to go back to what you said about the artwork. I honestly think, as I was kind of thinking through this time period, I think Miguel's art on that EP was a huge reason why maybe some people who otherwise may not have maybe took a chance on listening to a song or two. And, you know, so I can't understate the importance of what his talent and his art brought to our band and gave us like a little bit of an identity. I mean, the dude's an absolute stud. If anybody's listening to this and wants any artwork or just wants to check out cool stuff, please look up his Instagram and his Facebook. He goes by ECH Etch Illustration. Stuff is amazing.
See if we can get a Midwest Punks shirt or something.
We'll definitely take a look at his stuff and maybe share it out on the page and stuff, just to show everyone that kind of, you know, what he can do. But and we can relate to the power behind an image too, because I mean, we knew we needed some kind of logo more than just the words Midwest Punks or something for when we started this podcast, and Brian and I were trying to kind of conceptualize something. But I'm not really creative at all. Brian is, but I mean, just, you know, look, somebody who all they do is illustrate and design and stuff. I mean, that's a whole different level. So we worked with a local guy too, that we know, JR Brands Goods. And he just kind of took our idea and we got the skulls and skeletons and stuff in there too. Kind of like what's on Good Grief. But, so we definitely relate. I mean, the power of imagery. And I think when I saw you guys at Festival of Lakes, I think you had a giant flag of that behind you guys on the stage. And, that definitely caught my eye too. And I was like, oh, you know, I got to listen to this band. So, cause I had heard you guys before and heard of you, but I was just blown away by that performance. So I thought it was awesome.
Thanks, man. Yeah. That was a fun one. That show was a fun one.
Yeah. My buddy plays for, Zombie Schoolboy. So we had, you know, Billy Cox. So we had went to see him, cause I always try and make it out to his shows. And then got to see you guys, and then Chevelle. So that was, that was a pretty awesome night. All right, well, real quick, let's play Curses. Then we were talking about it, so let's make sure we get it in. Thank you. Okay, and that was Curses from Lights Over Bridgeport. It was on their Good Grief album. Definitely worth checking out. It's a 4-song EP, but some really powerful songs.
Yeah, highly recommend that album.
Yeah, definitely. And guys, I know, you know, it goes so quick when we're in here, but I want to make sure that we get to your new album. So you guys are dropping a new album. It's called Better This Way, and it's coming out Friday, a couple days. So, and you guys released a little mini documentary, kind of about 5 minutes long. You can find the link on your guys' Facebook page. I'll make sure we share that too. But you guys just talked about everything that kind of went into this album, all the energy and the emotions and everything like that. So what does this album mean to you guys?
Good question. It means a lot, man. You know, especially staring down the barrel of finally releasing it out to the world. I mean, it honestly, in some ways for me, it feels like it's been longer than the 2 to 3 years that we've spent working on it. Just for the volume of work that's gone into it and the amount of time that's passed, the amount of life that was lived. Like, I mean, for an entire year of the time preparing this record, like, Nico didn't even, he was like living in Texas, you know, like, so like something that massive actually happened, you know, in the time since we put something out. And, but for me, I mean, I would just say, this album for me is about, it's about making a decision to not let something negative bring you down, and basically turning lemons into lemonade and making a decision and a choice to fight for something better. And that was the driving factor for me, like with this record, whether it be the songwriting or the, you know, the actual work on making it. I don't know what the record means to you, but that's what it means to me.
If you ask everyone in the band, they're all going to have a different answer, like with every record. But it's definitely a special one. The other ones, I mean, they were just done under such different circumstances. And you're right. I mean, the amount of work that went into this. I mean, John more than anyone, but I don't know. It's just it's like a stamp, you know, like. You know, in our lifetimes, like, this is the thing that we finally were able to do, you know, this 11-song full length. Didn't think we'd make it that long, but, you know, we did it, and I don't know, it's a special one, for sure. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, and I know the song Morning in Chicago, the lyrics kind of, you know, relate to everything you just said about the album, kind of, you know, taking a step and in the right direction and stuff like that. I love the drums on Morning in Chicago too. They hit so hard, like in the beginning and then just all throughout. The drums just really caught my attention on that one.
Yeah, he killed it, man. Kevin did a great job.
Yeah. So we opened the show with Morning in Chicago. I know that you guys have two other songs on that album that have been getting shared on social media and getting played. Those two are or Morning in Chicago is one of them, and the other song is Song for Sadie. And so again, just a song that kind of hits the heart. It's about one of your doggos, huh?
Bringing it back to the doggos. We wrote that song as a tribute to the Migos pup that passed away. So, and then in the middle of making the album, my sister's dog that was very very special to me that I looked after also passed. So, you know, I don't know. We're like, we love dogs. So it makes sense that we have a song like that, I guess.
Yeah. No, yeah, I definitely relate to that one. You know, I know we're animal lovers. Brian and I are both vegans. So, yeah. and you know, I've done dog rescuing and stuff like that, fostering, and we got one of our 14-year-old dogs at home is not doing too good right now, so dealing with that too. So when you guys dropped that song on Facebook and, you know, and you guys gave a little write-up on it, I was like, oh man, should I listen to this one? But no, it's an awesome song, so I want to make sure that we play that one too. And so let's hear Song for Sadie by Lights Over Bridgeport off their new album, Better This Way.
Here we go.
I've been spending so much time thinking of words that I could say. You were always by my side from start to finish every day. Maybe someday I'll accept always have our Sunday evenings and those best times that we spend. And regardless of my singing, people won't know what it meant. Thought that I was watching you when you were looking after me, just to have you, my best friend, make me the best guy I could be. Feeling sad and lonely since you left, I wanted to only say to you you're the best. I promise I will keep you in my heart till the end, till the end. But I don't want to sulk and hang my head, it's glad we were together in the end. The fact it's not forever is the reason we hold on.
All right, and that was Song for Sadie. By Lights Over Bridgeport, and again off their new album that comes out Friday, May 22nd, Better This Way. Touching song. any dog lover's gonna love that one, but I think anybody else too. I mean, it's an awesome song. So again, this album drops May 22nd. I know I follow you guys on Facebook, so when you guys said that the records and the shirts and stuff were available for pre-order, I got mine. So
thank you.
Yeah. So how else is this going to release on Bandcamp as well on the 22nd?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it will be on all digital platforms. You can pre-order the digital on Apple Music or on Bandcamp now. On Bandcamp, I think it's only $7. I think it's like, I don't know how much it is on Apple Music, but you can do the digital there. It'll be on all streaming, Amazon, Spotify.
Yeah.
All that stuff on Friday or Thursday at midnight if you want to get technical.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, we get that because our show airs Wednesday at midnight. So technically, you know, that's always confusing to try and tell people, you know, when, like Tuesday night, basically.
Cool.
But yeah, so that's awesome. So that'll be there, and you guys are shipping out some records again with everything going on, the pandemic and stuff. I know you guys have had some delays in getting those made, but you guys are going to make sure people get those so people can go to your Facebook page to find more information about that?
Yeah, they can. So if you just go to lightsoverbridgeport.com, it'll redirect you to our merch site, and that's where you can order all the vinyl, the CD copy, and some of the t-shirts that we've done for this. We just found out that the records should be shipping out to us any moment by end of week, so we expect to have them next week. So if anyone's listening to this and you're wanting to order a record, the delay is not going to be too much longer. You know, we should be shipping that stuff out before the end of the month. So we're pumped on that. I mean, to finally have vinyl, to be playing this long together, and, you know, a few of us really love collecting vinyl, listening to vinyl. We've never had our own, so we cannot wait to hold that in our hands for
sure. Yeah, sure. And I know that these are rough times for a lot of artists, and you know, normally you guys would probably be playing a lot of shows and things to promote this album. So, how else can people support you guys? I mean, buying merchandise, or I know Bandcamp at some point was like waiving their fees when somebody downloaded stuff. So, I mean, like, just, you know, how else can people support you guys and local musicians and stuff?
I think the biggest thing is beyond just obviously purchasing, you know, the music or the record or whatever. But honestly, just telling your friends, I mean, that helps us a lot. You know, and we're wanting to reach as many ears as we can. So, any support, whether it be, you know, buying a record or just telling a friend who might be into it, that means a lot for us. So appreciate anyone who's willing to do that.
Yeah.
Appreciate the support.
Yeah. And we'll be sure and share some of the links and things like that on our Facebook page. I mean, we don't have that many followers, but we got some dedicated followers. So we'll definitely share that. And I think, you know, I think this album's going to do great. I mean, it sounds awesome. So last thing I want to just ask you guys before we play out with the last song is, any plans for any upcoming shows? I know, like, you know, things are starting to open back up. I did see a couple weeks ago, Festival Lakes said that they're, as of now, still going on with the show. I mean, is there, you guys, and I know, Johnny, you've done some of the virtual shows like Facebook streams and stuff like that. I've watched a couple of those. But any any plans for you guys doing anything either virtually or in person down the line?
Nothing really specific at this time. You know, we had a killer record release show that was supposed to happen this Saturday at Reggie's that obviously got canceled because of all this crap. And we had a short tour that we were booking for the East Coast that, I mean, several dates were booked, and that was going to be in June. And we're super bummed because we love playing live, and we can't do it right now. And honestly, from our vantage point, I don't know that that's going to be a thing we can consider doing for a while. Obviously, whenever it happens, we'll get back to it as soon as possible. But as far as the online stuff, I am going to be looking at doing something soon as far as that like solo stream kind of thing. But I don't have anything set in stone at this moment. So
cool. Well, we'll keep an eye on stuff. And, you know, when you guys are going to do another show or something virtual, we'll share it as well. So just trying to help you guys out with that.
Thank you. But
definitely looking forward to, you know, next time you guys do have a show, I think Brian and I will definitely try and make it out
definitely,
there.
Definitely, yeah.
I know that I had some good shows lined up this year to go to, and I would have been at your album release one. This just rained on everything. But
yeah.
Hey, we'll make it through. I mean, the live shows on Facebook are kind of convenient. Every once in a while, my son can just sit there and jam out with me, too. And, you know, Brian, if we're stuck here in the office, you can turn on somebody's stream and get some work done.
Yeah.
So, well, guys, thanks for coming on. Brian, you got anything else you wanted to
No, thanks, add? Guys.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
And again, Lights Over Bridgeport's new album, Better This Way, is dropping this Friday, May 22nd. Follow Facebook and go to lightsoverbridgeport.com for more info. Support them and hear an awesome album. So we're really appreciative of you guys coming on. First guest for us. So, I don't think it went too bad. Our editing guys are really good, so they'll make it sound all right. So yeah, so we'll go ahead and thank you guys again, Johnny, Miko, for coming on. Appreciate it. Good luck with everything with this album, and we look forward to seeing you guys sometime in the future at a show.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Okay, awesome. Sure. And
thanks very much. Thanks for supporting our band. You guys have been supporting our band quite a bit. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. Well. You guys make awesome music, so we appreciate that. So.
Yeah, keep that up.
Yeah. All right, well, let's play out with Bitter End mm-hmm. from Lights Over Bridgeport's new album, Better This Way, and make sure you get it when it comes out this Friday. So thanks for tuning in, and we'll play out with Bitter End. Thanks.
Most days I spend running round in my head, and this mess is all I can see. But I'm pulling back layers of you to find pieces of me. It's all good to ravage, but don't need the damage or the codependency. We can indulge without you leading me to believe that there's anything more to this beyond your vanity. Oh, you don't matter to me. Skipping ahead to the next track. You don't matter.
Next track, you don't matter.
don't matter